You're listening to the Oz TV podcast, only on the Oz Network.
And welcome back to the Oz Network. We're here to put a bow on Survivor New Zealand. It's been a long journey. Well, it kind of has and it kind of hasn't. It's been a fun journey all the same. And we're just here to kind of close this thing out, talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of Survivor New Zealand. And so we're looking forward to kind of going through this all with you. So you're joined here today by, there's a threesome happening today. We're back to the original team. This is Nick leading you out. We've also got Perez as always. Perez, how you doing?
I'm good. Hello, listeners. Hello, lovers. Hello, haters, as per usual.
And we're joined once again. He's back. He's binge watched this thing over the last week or so, and Ben is back to join us to give us the Aussie perspective on this whole thing. So welcome back, Ben.
Oh, thank you, guys. It's a pleasure to be back. Yes, I've traversed the world and returned, and pretty much one of the first things I actually did do when I got back was, as you said, binge watch the remainder of it. I think in my entire life had to be forced to sit down and listen to New Zealand accents so often and quickly in a matter of hours.
Did you love it?
Oh, look, you know, I really struggle to hear the word six and fish and chips pronounced correctly anymore because you guys have just ruined it for me. So I enjoyed it. I've missed talking to you two. I've missed being able to be overridden by New Zealanders on an episode. So I'm excited to be back.
Aww.
And I think, you know, it's good to have you back, and lots of people might be asking the question of why are we dragging this out to another episode, but, you know, much like Barb, this episode is a bit like shit that won't flush down the toilet, and, you know, we just want to come back one more time, and kind of maybe, you know, because I think in our last episode wrap-up, there was so much to talk about, and we just didn't get time to really focus on the season as a whole, so I think we kind of just wanted to kind of close it out by talking a little bit about the season. So what we're probably going to do is just talk about a few different aspects of the show, I guess. You know, probably the good, the bad, the things we liked, things we didn't like. Talk a little bit about the players. We're not going to go through them one by one. We're just going to talk in some more general terms. And, you know, because I know how much Ben likes talking about our accents, we're going to go with a top six here. That's a top six. And basically just break down our favourite six, given we're going to take two each and just talk about our favourites and least favourites of a number of topics. But before we kind of get into that, we just wanted to talk a little bit about, there was a news article that I kind of pulled up, which was from the New Zealand Herald. The headline of it was Survivor New Zealand, Barb says she was scorned and ridiculed. And it's basically just Barb's take on how the season ended. And I think Perez and I didn't really talk in deep terms about Barb. I think we kind of focused on RV and what kind of a winner he was and, you know, Tom and the reaction that I got in the room, which was very pro-Tom. When I was sitting in the room listening to the crowd. So that kind of surprised me a little bit. But we didn't really talk about Barb a little bit. And, you know, this is a really interesting article where Barb's basically talking about she knew she couldn't win because, you know, none of the younger people are going to let an older woman beat her. And I think she makes a kind of comment somewhere along the lines that, you know, if this was an American Survivor, she would have won. She would have been rewarded for her gameplay. And I know that all three of us have got a pretty strong opinion of this. So I think I might just lead out slightly here. We're saying that I really enjoyed Barb on the show. But I think if she thinks that she deserved to win this game, she's probably a little bit delusional because I think, although she played a really good game, I think RV's social game was pretty impeccable. And as we've seen from years and years of watching the show, is that the social player always wins out in the end. And, you know, Barb, for all her good points, was obviously not making connections with a lot of the people in the game. And you just can't win if people don't like and respect you at the end. So, you know, I know this was probably a really hard thing for Barb to go through at the end, but it was absolutely no surprise to me what happened. So, Perez, I know that you're pretty vocal about this, so I might let you talk about this a little bit. So, you know, what was your reaction after you kind of saw this article from Barb?
Well, first and foremost, I don't think she would have won an American season. I think she would have been voted out as somebody who, at best, if she didn't finish, I think the way she finished in our season of Survivor would have been the absolute, like, Hail Mary clouds part, Jesus comes down and carries you all the way to the end result that she could have got. I think on an American season, she would have been one of the first couple of people out. And then when she wanted to quit, I think she would have quit. I think she would have quit an American season because from my perspective and what I saw, I don't think she was really prepared for the actual gameplay aspect of it. I think she might have prepared for sleeping outdoors and hanging out with people that she might not necessarily, you know, deal with on her regular life. But once she was there doing it, I think it was just all way too much for her. And I might sound like, you know, the young people in her tribe, but I think she was like a crazy menopause woman, because my grandmother had her wedding dress literally looked like Grace Kelly's wedding dress. And when she was menopausal, she said the most crazy thing she did was she got her wedding dress, which was this big, huge, extravagant thing, put it on the dining room table and cut it to shreds with a pair of scissors. And I said, why? And she said, menopause. And that was it. So maybe some menopausal women shouldn't go on Survivor. Or maybe they could. Like Monica Culpepper, she could have been menopausal and she was just a little bit batshit, but like, you know, Barb levels. What?
Do not compare Monica to Barb's. How dare you? How dare you, Perez?
Well, I wouldn't say she was a Barb. I would stick by what I said last week. I think overall, I think she was like the perfect blend of Kim Johnson and Missy from 29. I thought she was awful. And she's a sore loser as well.
Well, I think one of the things to point out is that Barb does have a bit of a case in terms of we've got a lot of these people, especially in recent Survivor seasons, who, you know, that kind of slightly older woman who gets to the end and then gets no votes because, you know, their gameplay isn't respected. And I think there's a point to be made there. I know, you know, we talk about the Missies and the Dawns and the Sherrys and, you know, those type of players who kind of do, and Lisa Welch, you know, those type that make it to the end and don't do very well in front of a jury. And I think that there is definitely something there. I don't want to say there's absolutely nothing in terms of, you know, that the older woman doesn't get the respect that she deserves, because I think there's definitely, there's part of that. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, there's a lot of inherent sexism in Survivor. And, you know, I don't want to just overlook that. Like, it's definitely not a thing. But I think in this situation, I'm not entirely sure that Barb can lay it all at the hands of, you know, some bit of people who just didn't respect her because of her age. I think that that's probably papering over a few things that she did in the game that she didn't do well, and they came back to bite her at the end. And you know, I think you kind of look at these players who have come out of these games, the younger ones who definitely, you know, it's been a bit of a life-changing experience, especially Jack is the one I'm thinking of, and I just don't think she could relate to him and see his point of view. And, you know, ultimately that means that she's never going to get his vote. So, I mean, Ben, what's your take on this whole thing? I mean, you kind of binge watched the Barb experience. So, you know, how has that been for you kind of coming out the other side? Do you kind of, where do you fall in terms of this stuff?
Lordy, lordy. Actually, I was surprised there, Perez. I thought you were going to go into her a little bit more there. I was surprised you sounded, maybe I missed it, that you were a bit more meaner on in the last few weeks. I don't know. Barb is probably, in my entire life, having watched this show, the Survivor, mainly the US one, I mean, New Zealand one's only just been on for a year, but probably the most frustrating Survivor contestant I have ever, ever watched. There were so many elements about her game that really could have made her a fantastic player. But the problem with Barb is that you got so many different layers and levels of what she wanted to do from one minute to the next. One minute she was the godfather laying in the hammock dictating everything that was going on. The next she was wanting to quit. Then she was, oh no, I don't want to make it to the end. I just want to make sure that these people get to the end and then I can argue that they will win. Then she's, no, I've been the most deserving player in this game. I'm going to go to the end and argue my case and win. To, oh, you all hated me because I was old, so that's the only reason why I didn't win and you're all sexist. So it's just, she's so aggravatingly frustrating, and it's just like it's so hard to get an overall read on her. I think, Nick, you pointed out some very good points here. I definitely feel some of what she is implying can possibly be true. It is a thing in Survivor that we do get this sort of older female making it to the end, and they always struggle to get those votes at the end. Who is the only older woman to really win Survivor? That's Tina, isn't it? Am I missing anybody else there off the top of my head? But that's obviously in a completely
Denise Philippines.
Denise, true. I mean, it's a completely different era when Tina won, and Denise, well, I mean, she was at, I mean, that final tribal council in Philippines was the oldest final three, I think, in memory combined age. So, I mean, she was the youngest, I think, technically at that final tribal council. And she was up against Lisa and Mike Scoopin. So, I mean, that wasn't that hard. But it's, yeah, like, it is kind of a thing. And, I mean, there are many different elements, though, to why those older females don't win. And I think that Barb can't then use that excuse when the game she played, you can't compare it to a Lisa. You can't compare it to a Sherry or a Dawn, you know, or a Missy. You know, it's just, it's not comparable. So I don't think she can play that card. I don't think she would have won the US version. No way would she have won the US version. So I don't think that's a valid argument either. And I mean, it's all well and good to go into a game like this and get ripped a new one at the Final Tribal Council. It happens. It's Survivor. And the thing that I know we'll probably talk about this overall when you ask for my opinions when it comes to the season in general, I think that's what a lot of people had a problem with, and maybe this is a New Zealand thing. You two can maybe enlighten me a little bit this, because I know having conversations with both of you before this season started, how you told me that New Zealanders might struggle to grasp the kind of strategy version of the game, and I think even Matt mentioned that in the finale. It just seems to me that she had trouble with the aspect that this is what was going to happen at the end, that people were going to grill her for the social side of things that she did wrong. And yes, there were definitely parts of the game where she was on the outside in those early days with her and Nate. I definitely believe her and Nate were segregated, and I definitely believe that they were bullied to a certain extent by the younger people of the tribe. But having said that, then when it comes later into the game, she's kind of being very condescending towards the younger ones. Who was it, Mike or Tom, that she was having that conversation with when they were then having the confessional, saying that she keeps cutting me off every time I'm trying to talk to say something about it? And you saw that. You saw that on the screen. So you firsthand got to see what she was doing to them. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think there's bits of what she's saying that can be true, but I think Perez's overlying line there that she's being a little bit of a sore loser. Sorry, Barb, but I definitely think that is the case. I think that there was going into that. I mean, I was spoiled. I knew Arvi won, but I think even if I didn't know that he had won going into that, I would have picked Arvi as a winner anyway, because, I mean, you know, he had that social game. No one disliked him. You know, he didn't have to rely on being a challenge beast to win. And he, you know, kind of overcame a few things along the way. Yes, Barb, you would argue, made the biggest move in the game, taking Sala out. But, I mean, you know, it doesn't make one move to make you win the game. I mean, God, if that's all it took, then Russell Hance would be a two-time winner of Survivor, and that's not going to happen. So, yeah, I think overall, she's the most frustrating Survivor player I have ever, ever watched in any version of this show. And I really think that she does come out of this as a bit of a sore loser.
Yeah, and I think probably just to kind of cap this off is that one of the things I think that's maybe a little bit lost here is that I think Barb thinks that she is, that people aren't respecting her game moves. And I think what came through quite clearly is that what people didn't have an issue with the blindsides and all that kind of thing. I think they had an issue with the perceived lack of respect at camp. You know, that she was kind of expecting things. And I think that's all really summed up by Sala's comment. I know I mentioned this last week as well, but I think it's worth coming back to, which is basically that Sala says that, you know, she basically disrespected the people that naturally had respect for her. Mm-hmm. And I think that really powerful line that basically kind of sums up the whole issue with Barb, really. It wasn't really about her gameplay. It was more about, you know, the way she was around camp. And, you know, she probably wouldn't have got Sala's vote after that blindside regardless, but she could easily have got other votes if you treated respect throughout.
Just there's a weird little comparison I just want to quickly make out if you want to move on from this, but, like, I think you could tell the way she was reacting to, I think it was Jack when he first had that speech, and then kind of everybody was really, you know, breaking her a new asshole, essentially, and obviously there was a lot that we didn't get to see. But, like, I think kind of there's always generally one person in the Final Tribal Council who is the one who's getting berated the most. It's a Survivor thing. It's what generally happens. And for the most part, they'll end up being the zero vote getter, be it that they just were not liked by the tribe, or they were lazy, or they perceived that they did stuff, but the rest of the jury said they didn't do anything. I think what we've just recently seen in the US version on Game Changers really can show that a person who basically is that person getting, you know, ripped a new one is going to get no votes, but then can accept it. I think what Troyzan did can kind of really set a new standard in terms of that, yes, you're going to be pissed off at the jury's not accepting your game because you're perceiving it differently. But yes, it's a game. Yes, you get frustrated, but you can still accept it. And maybe I'm saying this just because I love Troyzan, and I just wanted to say this anyway. But, like, the fact that he basically was like, yep, I accept it. Cool. I'm out. Thanks, guys. Not saying Barb would have done that because Barb is not Troyzan. But, you know, I still think that there's a level where you can accept that. And Barb obviously had a real issue with accepting that people were very anti her when it came to that jury. And clearly, based on that article and her interview, she will struggle to accept that for a long time.
I think if it had, if the vote had been 4 for Arby, 3 for Barb, she'd still be saying the same thing, though. I don't think it was like a no votes, her being the goat sort of person. I think it was the fact that she didn't win that would be getting under her skin.
True, true.
Yep, no, I totally would agree with all that. I think we've kind of covered that off pretty well, so we can move on. I think, it was just an article that I picked up that... I don't think anybody has really discussed in detail. And I think, it's kind of good to kind of put in a little bit of context. Barb, I think, was some different TV, a different bit of casting from what we normally see. And ultimately, I think the jury made the right decision, really. I mean, in terms of I would have been okay with Arby or Tom, but I think there's a really clear reason why Barb didn't win. And we can kind of move on from that, I think.
I will say that if the day ever comes, and I'm sure this is going to be a question you'll raise about whether or not this will continue into another season. Hypothetically, let's say it does. Hypothetically, we get to a point where there's an All-Stars or Survivor New Zealand. You can't deny that Barb surely will be on Survivor New Zealand All-Stars.
Oh, yeah, she could be a villain. Hard out.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I think so.
I think the problem is that she won't want to come back. I think she's one of those ones that might get the invite, but is probably not interested in doing this again. Like somebody who, as we said, tried to quit at least 3 times that we saw. And got an absolute pasting at the end. I don't think she's probably going to have much of a desire to come back. Could be wrong, but that's kind of the feeling I get. But yes, that's definitely something we're going to talk about. So let's move on, and we can talk about that a little bit more. But I think probably the good place to start here is we're just going to basically go around the table and pick a couple of things for each of these topics. And I think we're the most correct place to start here is to talk about the things we liked about this season, because I think there is plenty to like about this season. And we'll definitely get to things we don't like. But I thought we might just start on the positive note about what we enjoyed about Survivor New Zealand. So I might let the resident Aussie start us off just to force him to give us a compliment right off the bat.
Oh, off you go, Ben.
So what I enjoyed about Survivor New Zealand, is that the question? Or are you just... Yeah. Look, it was... I mean, it was definitely... I found it a lot more entertaining when you watch it back-to-back the way I did. I think that it was a bit of a drag... in points when you would watch it sort of those 2 episodes a week. And I mean, I think I was only there for like the first 5 or 6 episodes before I was away. And, I was very critical on those longer episodes, but I found when you watch them all together, it kind of made it a lot more enjoyable to watch. I definitely enjoyed a lot of the personalities. I said from the very get go that it was a very fun, enjoyable cast. And I think that was a real selling point for this season. I mean, it was one of the most enjoyable casts of any version of Survivor I've watched in a very long time. We're about to see the new Australian version, and that to me, I have had little to no interest in that cast. I saw it once and thought, well, that's a boring cast. And then I'm a couple of days away from doing a cast assessment on it, so I'm looking forward to that, clearly. But, I thoroughly enjoyed these personalities. I think that they all seem like a great bunch of people that, for the most part, you really do want to hang out with or just get to know a little bit better. I actually enjoyed how they worked Redemption Island into it a lot more than I thought that I would. I feel that when it came to like the strategy side of things, I mean, strategy was probably lacking a lot from this version of the show, but I liked how they didn't necessarily use Redemption Island as a strategic tool like they do sometimes. I mean, I know that can kind of work in favor, but it just kind of seemed like a nice side element that you kind of forgot was there, but then it wasn't, and then it still didn't take over the entire show. And I enjoyed a lot of the challenges, actually. They seemed to kind of use a lot of challenges, mix it up, sort of some old school and new school challenges, sort of having the nighttime, running through the jungle, having to guess things like that, a good old Survivor trivia challenge, including the greatest question in the history of Survivor by Matt, how many times have I worn a green Survivor hat, followed by the, I don't even own a green Survivor hat, I want Propes to have that question. I just love it. And I really enjoyed Matt. I really enjoyed... Matt in himself was just entertainment. And again, it's probably going to be a side question you ask, because, so many things to say about Matt, but I think one of my two of my favorite moments, actually, I tweeted out the scene, and again, I'm probably jumping ahead here in moments, but it's kind of lumped into the season because there was a lot of humor to this season that I really enjoyed. And I love the bit, was it when Jack and I can't remember who he was doing that challenge, and they basically wrote, like, what, tight ass or something like that on the on the board. And Matt's reaction, like, Matt has amazing facial reactions. And then followed by the other one when Barb won the immunity. And I honestly thought that Matt, like, you needed to hand him a box of tissues. He was jizzing everywhere. Like, I've never seen a host of Survivor get that excited. He just lost his proverbial shit at Barb winning that immunity challenge, and I loved it. So, in summary, Nick, Matt, and the cast, I guess.
Yeah, well, thanks for leaving some for the rest of us, Ben. We'll move on.
That's been Survivor New Zealand. Good to have you back.
Yeah. So, Perez, have you got anything to add to that extensive list?
My favorite things from the season? Yeah. I would say I really enjoyed the old school Survivor challenges. I thought, and having them done on our low budget kind of way, I thought it worked. So I really liked that. And I don't even know if this is a thing, but I really like the fact that it was New Zealanders playing Survivor. Overall, I would say that was my most favorite thing. Yeah, that would probably be it, because the Australian hogged everything. Your turn, Nick.
I think there's actually a couple that I can add to that, and I think one of the things is the production value, because I think we were legitimately concerned about what we were going to get on the screen, what it was going to look like, and you know, this thing, it might not look like an American version, but it's not that far away. You know, it does look like the real deal, and I think that really helps. I think it's interesting because you can see where the money was spent on the show, and it was in producing the show to make it look nice. You know, like the prize money, some of the rewards. Obviously we're not spending a lot of money there. but in terms of what's actually on the screen, and you know, you talk a lot about movies, and you know, you see, sometimes you say about movies is that, you know, you see the budget on the screen and sometimes you don't. And I think this is one where you definitely see the money up on the screen. Everything looks really nice. And I think that's really, really important. I think that's a really good aspect of the show. And I think the other thing too for me was the editing. I think, you know, Perez and I spent a lot of time talking about that we were getting set up for an RV win. And I think that while we saw that, it was quite clear to me from, you know, reading comments online that wasn't seen by a lot of kind of more casual watchers of the show, that a lot of people thought Tom was going to win. So I think that they did a good job of editing the show for, you know, kind of filthy casuals, but also giving enough for the kind of super fans to be able to see the writing on the wall and feel good about themselves when they got it right. At least the two that were talking about it on this show every week certainly did. And you know, I think that was really cool. And I think there was in almost every little storyline that they had, there was payoff. Like, even to the point where there was a couple of scenes where Arvi was like desperate to win an immunity, and it's like, I just have this feeling he's going to win the final immunity, which of course he does. So kind of everything that they set up basically paid off. You know, there wasn't really anything that was left hanging. And I think that's not always something you can say about the American version. I think that they kind of set up storylines that kind of just go nowhere. And so I think it was a pretty tidy piece of editing on this show overall. So I think that's a really good aspect to it. So is there anything else that we maybe have missed that anybody wants to cover?
I think I should just add in, I also really enjoyed Shannon's facial skincare routine.
Yeah, the white face. It was pretty.
I also really appreciated Jack's ass.
Yes, I like that the show couldn't decide if they were going to blur it or not. You know, one week it was blurred, the next week it wasn't.
I know, and the thing you missed with that is like the bit where he gets voted out and he turns his head and then they all kind of crack up laughing. The thing that I don't think you realize when they blur that, he actually clenched his ass cheeks, which you saw in the finale, which that was the humor of it. Like, everyone just kind of cracked up laughing. And you're like, okay, fair enough, he's giving the death stare and they start laughing. But when you actually see it unblurred, he clenches his cheeks, which makes it hilarious. So...
Yeah. Well, like I said, if that were me, then I would have, if I was in Jack's position, I definitely would have farted right at that moment.
Can I just add Jack? Can I add Jack to the best things about this season?
Well, that's interesting because I probably wouldn't add Jack to the best things about this season because I think I don't think he quite delivered on what I was expecting, but he was by far and away the MVP of the reunion show. He was so good at the reunion show. And I think that they kind of set Jack up a little bit and that they made his jokes feel really awkward and everybody been pissed off at them. And I don't think we actually saw who Jack really was on the show, which is, you know, a bit of a joker. So I'm not entirely sure I'll agree with that. But he was a pretty cool bit of casting, which you probably don't see on other versions of the show. Mm-hmm. But we'll definitely come back to the cast. And I do want to kind of get into the things we didn't enjoy. And I'm going to start here this time. One of the things that I really didn't enjoy about this show was the marketing around it, especially in terms of basically giving away all the secrets to the show the week beforehand. So, you know, there are so many cases where we saw this, you know, from seeing a shot of Sala wearing the Hermosa buff before they had the tribe swap to, you know, you saw Mike get voted out before he got voted out. You know, there's all sorts of different situations where this has happened. I can't even remember them all now. But the show just didn't take care to really hide the secrets from week to week, and that was really disappointing. And I just really wish they'd done a better job at kind of keeping the suspense, because I think that really did kill it a little bit for me, is that I felt that I could see everything coming because the show just wanted me to see it. They didn't want to surprise me, which was really disappointing. In terms of other stuff that that I didn't really like, I mean, I think the pacing of the show was tough for me. You know, I didn't enjoy the kind of two episodes a week where only one person gets voted out. It just felt like it dragged a little bit to me. We often, you know, was getting into repetitive cycles of the same thing happening over and over again because the season wasn't changing. You know, there wasn't big blindsides every week. If there had been, then maybe that camp life stuff would have been more interesting. But because things didn't really change, then having so much camp life was a little bit hard to watch at times. But those are probably the two big things for me. So, Perez, I might let you go next and add anything, because I'm pretty sure you're going to have at least a couple.
Oh, only a couple. Okay. The things that I really didn't like, okay, yes, I agree with you, Nick. The editing I thought was just, with the spoilers, was just appalling. So I'm going to say I really liked Matt, right? I really liked him. If there's Survivor Season 2, I hope he's back. I just really didn't like the way he would handle each tribal council, thinking about it now. It was sort of like, almost like, just very surface campfire matey talk, with like really obvious prodding for strategy and then not following it up. So I think for me, the thing I like the least about the whole season, but that was just always annoying me, was Tribal Council with his line of questioning and lack of like digging. And I also really hated how they folded the votes, like, horizontally, like, what was with that? That pissed me off every week. And, yeah, and I agree with the two episodes. I think it could have all been condensed down into solid one episode a week thing as well. That would be my main gripes with it.
Ben, anything you want to add?
Not really. I mean, I pretty much agree with everything you guys said. I mean, for sure, my biggest, easily, was multiple episodes a week. I think Survivor is a show that only needs to be seen once a week. This was our biggest issue going into the Australian one last year of how that would work. I don't think they handled it very well, and I think the Australian one had a lot more strategy, it had a lot more people, it had, you know, so much here, there, and everywhere, but it's just, it didn't even work with that. And, I mean, yeah, like as I was saying before about how this worked better watching it, like, all together, there were still many times when I'd be watching this and just fade out completely, because I think a big thing, like, I completely agree with when you said about the editing was top-notch, but I just also feel on the flip side of that, that just, it was so repetitive because you would just get the same conversation for like 20 minutes in an episode. And on a show that lacked so much strategy, it just didn't work. And that just dragged it down a lot. I think we said a lot early on that this really had a vibe of Season 1 Australia from 2002. And while this was better than the very first Australian version, it still had so much vibes about it when it had, you know, limited strategy, a lot of mateship and all this kind of stuff. it's interesting, Perez, you're saying about the Matt stuff, and again, I don't know if we're talking about him separately, and again, I love Matt. Love Matt. I think that you can easily see there is so much he can develop into a fantastic host, and I would still easily say that he could easily be a replacement for Propes one day. I think the problem that Matt had is that he maybe just wasn't used to this style of TV hosting. I've never seen him on anything else. You guys would know that a lot more than I would. But I think the problem, I saw it at Tribal Council, and it really shone through at the reunion. He's very scripted and rigid in what he does with his questions. And you see it in challenges. You see it with all this sort of stuff. It's like he has a prepared question that he's very scripted with, and he doesn't have a follow-up, and his follow-ups kind of come across as like real blokey matey, like, oh yeah, you know, and then he kind of moves on quickly. So I think that he can definitely develop that for sure, but I think just it did show through a lot in this season that he does struggle to follow up on a scripted question. So that, I think, definitely worked against in some versions. And I think the lack of strategy to me maybe... you know, did work against this, because again, similar to what the first season of the Australian one was, it was very jovial, very friendly, and I think kind of that goes back to what I was saying, like, about how it did seem that a lot of these people struggled to realise what type of game they were playing, you know, and it again develops, you know, we still saw a kind of a 50-50 spread in the Australian version recently, that there was still that mateship, but there was still strategy involved. So I kind of, again, it's one of these things that will develop over the time if this continues to go on. But it is interesting after you get so used to, you know, 34 seasons of the US version to kind of then go back to a newer, older version of the game, if that makes sense. So, and I think on a show like kind of, you know, lumping this in when we're saying about multiple episodes a week, when you've got so much screen time each week, you know, two and a bit hours worth of airtime each week devoted to not much strategy. I mean, what do we have, one episode where they literally have the crab races and we had like subtitles on the screen? I mean, that's really all that they can show in an episode. And how many episodes do they have in the final week? Like 4 episodes over 4 days?
I would defend that was probably the best part of the season. I think it did peak at the right time, that it got really down towards the end. And I think, you know, like, I'm kind of veering back onto the good things, but I did like that they took a few risks. I like the fact that they brought two people back from Redemption Island at the end. You know, it was just something a bit different. I totally agree with what you're saying. I think it felt like such a Borneo season for me. And if you go back and watch Jeff on that season, there's definitely that, you know, he isn't great with, you know, like, I like the whole thing of, you know, like the conch shell, you know, and those first couple of, you know, where everyone's got to pass around and the talking shell at Tribal Council and things like that.
And I completely agree with that. And that's not a bad thing against Matt. That's just Matt's development as a host. And I think maybe from...
From Matt, how much he's actually watched. Because I know he wasn't a huge Survivor fan when he got the gig, but whether he watched any, you know, how much he watched of New Zealand Survivor, of American Survivor before he hosted, because it kind of felt like he hadn't really, and maybe that was deliberate, like he didn't want to end up doing a just like a Jeff impression, that he actually just didn't want to watch a whole lot and just let himself kind of grow into the role himself.
Yeah, and it's interesting with that, because, I mean, I know in the lead-up to the Australian one, like, the, you know, Jonathan LaPaglia, like, met with Jeff Probst, because they're all buddy-buddy on social media and all that sort of stuff. And, I mean, at the time of recording this, I've just started rewatching the Australian one, because, again, I hadn't seen all of it. And it's interesting, kind of, like, my criticisms of Jonathan LaPaglia are kind of muted a little bit, comparing it to Matt. And it's kind of interesting to kind of see how they work differently but are similar. And, I mean, again, we all know, and we said this at the very beginning, that Jeff Probst is always the granddaddy of being compared to. And as you said, Nick, like, go back and watch him in Borneo to compare to now. They're two different people almost, but that comes with development. And that's even coming from my background sort of in radio and working in the media. I mean, I go back and listen to myself 10 years ago, 11 years ago, and I cringe. I can't stomach hearing myself. I'd like to think I've improved, but hey, that's up to the two people that have heard me over 10 years. But I think that definitely comes... as development, and this is a very, very hard show to host, because it's not just a black and white question and answer show. You do need to follow it up and read what people are saying, and even just read body language. I mean, again, you look at Probst, how now in Tribal Council, he's like, wow, you can see the eyes there from, you know, Sarah, and the eyes over there from, you know, Ty. Like, he didn't do that in Borneo. So it's kind of, it's a very perceptive show, and Matt will... he has got the potential to really develop into such an even better host. I don't want to say a great host, because I think he did a fantastic job with what he was working with this season. And I would argue he did a better job on many levels than Jonathan LaPaglia did, and is already slightly ahead. But there's also elements to Matt's hosting style that are behind what Jonathan LaPaglia is doing. So it'd be interesting to see how both of them kind of grow if both versions go on further.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a good way to segue out of that. We'll probably come back to Matt, I assume. But let's just do a real kind of quick yes or no, really, with maybe a little bit of a follow-up in terms of, do you think we're going to get a second season? Because from what I understand at the moment, TVNZ hasn't looked into a second season yet. They got fairly solid ratings for this season, so you know, there's every reason to think it could grow and become more popular. But there doesn't seem to be anything currently in the works to follow up with a second season. Perez, do you think we're going to see season two of Surviving New Zealand?
I wouldn't be surprised if we do, and I wouldn't be surprised if we don't. That's me being honest. I hope there is a second season, but I wouldn't be surprised if this was it, and I wouldn't be surprised if we do get another one. Yeah.
What about for you, Ben?
Look, from an outsider's perspective, I was going to ask you like about the ratings and things like that. I from an outsider's perspective, I would say yes, just because how it all worked. And, I mean, just looking at the reunion to see that you had that amount of people there, and from judging on social media reaction, not just, you know, from seeing from the New Zealand side of things, but from Australians, from Americans, from Canadians, from people who are overseas or are watching this, you know, I mean, it's great to see sort of other media outlets covering this and really talking about it. So I would like to say a yes. I mean, you know, the Australian version didn't rate brilliantly here in Australia, but a lot of what drove that to a second season was the fandom of it. A very loyal fan base, Survivor obviously is. And, you know, things like social media. I mean, it was always, you know, the top trending topic on, you know, Twitter most of the time when it was airing, but it didn't really translate into ratings. So they gave it another shot, and we'll see how that goes with the upcoming one in Australia. So I'd like to think that New Zealand can do the same, you know, that maybe they can go out of their way and say, like, might not have been the ratings juggernaut we wanted it to be, but, you know, I think even with our dealings with TVNZ, they kind of seemed surprised at the reaction it was getting. So that hopefully might translate into, hey, well, this got a lot better than we thought it would, so let's give it another go. So I'd like to see it try it again. But, I mean, judging kind of what you were saying there about how maybe they're not looking at it, I don't know. But, you know, who knows?
Well, I think from my perspective, I think there's reasons to be positive we might see it again, and there's reasons to be negative. And I think probably the positives is that I think it got, I wouldn't say amazing ratings, but I think it got pretty solid ratings. And when you think it was up against, you know, at the start of the season, it was up against the tail end of The Bachelor here on the other side. And then towards the end of its run was the start of the new season of The Block here. So it kind of went up against two pretty well-established kind of reality shows in New Zealand already. You know, and it's not a new concept, you know, so for it to be drawing those kind of viewers is actually pretty impressive. So I think that there's every reason to think that they might have another crack at it. What makes me less optimistic is that if they thought they had something really good here, then it followed up with reasonably good ratings, you'd think they would already have season two in the works. They wouldn't want to wait until this thing was over before they even start about it. They'd want to build on the momentum by saying, oh, hey, look, we're going to go straight into season two, applications are open now, here's the website. And they're not doing that. They're not even thinking about it at the moment. And I think that there might be some licensing things in terms of, I think there might be a connection between Australian Survivor in terms of they wanted to show Australian Survivor, but they were told, well, you'll have to produce your own version is what I'm thinking might have happened. And so they've gone away and done that. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if Perez can fill me in, but I haven't heard anything about the new Australian version being on here. So potentially there isn't a rush to get a second season of this thing going. I think for a New Zealand, you know, market, this was probably a really expensive show to make. You know, I think in terms of, we always think Survivor reality TV is reasonably cheap to make because you don't have to pay the talent as such all that much money. But you know, the terms of, you know, production, having all your cast there, building sets, tribal council, challenges, all that kind of stuff, your medical teams, even though the doctor on this thing looked like he was homeless, you know, the whole thing, I think, was probably a reasonably expensive outlay for TVNZ. They may not feel that they got their money back off it, I don't know, But at the moment, I would feel a little bit pessimistic that we're going to see a second season, because if they thought they had something great, then they would want to be building on that momentum now, and they're not, which makes me feel like we're probably not going to see it again. Although we had so much talk about this being the first New Zealand Survivor, the first winner of New Zealand Survivor, the first this, first that, there doesn't seem to be any motion in place at the moment for a second event thing. So that would concern me if I was putting money on seeing this again.
If they are going to air the second Australian Survivor here, and I would assume they'd air it this year, that could be Survivor overload for a casual New Zealand audience, which I don't think would bode well for future New Zealand Survivor seasons.
And it's interesting to see that they actually haven't aired, or it hasn't even looked like they plan on airing the New Zealand version here in Australia. I mean, that surprised me, to be completely honest. I think I agree with most of what was said. I mean, the one option that I can see maybe happening down the line is maybe what they did with The Amazing Race. Maybe they might do an Australia versus New Zealand season. That would be fun. We love that sort of show, obviously, between both countries.
Oh, my God, Ben! If there was an Australian versus New Zealand Survivor and you were on the Australian team and I was on the New Zealand team, how offended would you be when I blindside you if you make it to, like, playing with me?
Well, it wouldn't happen because you would have been blindsided ages ago by Nick and I team.
Oh, no. I would win.
It's funny that you talk about, like, the cost of producing this. That even, you know, because when I talked to New Zealand, TVNZ about, oh, I'd love to get a buff, and they're like, they're really expensive to buy, you know, just even things like that. It's, you know, just everything about this is actually way more expensive than people realise, I think. I'm not optimistic that we're going to see more of this, but let's kind of just leave that there, because let's get into the next part of saying that, well, it is going to come back. Let's just live in this hypothetical world where it's going to come back. And who do we think is most likely to, you know, potentially out of this group asked back for another season? So what I thought we might be fun to do is let's just do a draft. Let's pick two people each, going one at a time, for who we think is the most likely, and we'll let I won't say ladies first, we'll say Aussies first. So, Ben, I'll give you first pick of who you think is the most likely to be picked to come back from this bunch if they do, it's at some point an All-Stars version.
I think Barb is number one, just based on the reaction. Again, I probably do have to go back to agreeing with you about saying I doubt she would, but again, let's hypotheticalise this and say that everyone would say yes. So, my first preference would be Barb.
Okay, your next, Perez.
RV, because he was the winner and he had the most, like, linear story, I would say RV, obviously. And I picked him as the winner. Did I mention that last week?
No, yeah, we need to keep mentioning that just in case.
Did you pick him from day one, did you?
Very day one, before day one, from our pre-cast assessment, I picked him as
I think my Georgia winner. Was my choice, wasn't it? No, it was Shannon, or one of them. I think it was Shannon. Fuck, I can't remember.
Mine was Lou, so I keep living in that fantasy world, but she didn't actually get one out. So, you know, anything could have happened. But if I'm next up and I'm picking, I'm actually going to go maybe a little bit outside the expected, and I'm going to pick Jack. I think he's somebody that we would definitely see back. I think he's good TV, and, you know, he'd probably be hungry to come back and play again. So, yeah, he's definitely my next pick. So, Ben, this is your second and final pick. So who are you picking?
I just want to say I agree with Jack for sure. I'm going to say Sala, just because, I mean, Sala's awesome. Everyone loves Sala. He was obviously won the fan favourite, basically. And, I mean, he's kind of like the Rupert of this season, isn't he? Like, everybody loved him. So, and I think that for sure there's no way that they would not consider him coming back again.
Yep, I would agree with that. Perez?
Oh, I'm stuck on two. Oh, I'm going to pick the one that I think that you won't pick, Nick. So I'm going to say Shay, because she was a bitch. Yeah. And I'd want to see more of her.
It's an interesting pick. It's definitely not who I was picking, but you've kind of left me in a difficult situation here, because I've got two that I'm trying to pick between, which is Tom and Shannon.
Yay, pasty face. I would have said I was going to go with either Shay or Shannon, so I was hoping you were going to say Shannon.
I am going to pick Shannon, because I actually think Shannon was great TV. good at giving an interview. And I think, you know, in this hypothetical world, it's always hard to bring back women. You know, that it's always easy to pick blokes. I think Tom was probably, you know, like, we get a little bit, and we get a little bit caught up in that. You know, he won all these challenges, and he was actually really funny on the reunion show, and he was quite, you know, but I think on the show, he was actually quite monotone. It was hard to get really excited about what Tom was saying, because he spoke like this the whole time and had no inflection in his voice. And, you know, that was quite hard to listen to. And so I think from purely an entertainment perspective, I'd probably want to see Shannon back on the show, because I think she'd probably play hard. You know, she would take risks. Like she did on the show, and she's good to look at as well, so that never helped.
I got confused. I would have, if we had a third option, I would have chosen between Tom or Mike, and hypothetically, I just put that there because I honestly thought they were both the same person. Towards the end there, I couldn't differentiate between the two. I'm like, Mike was the one on Redemption, and Tom's the one who won on the other thing. And I have to say, Matt turned a bit Probst-like, didn't he? Like, he got a bit excited in the lower regions over both of them winning lots of challenges. You know, just to point that out.
They're both these quite dark-complexioned, you know, bearded, shortish guys from Tauranga. So, you know, yeah, they are...
At least Lee had long hair. I mean, if he had short hair, then fuck, we had three of the same people out there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. It's a bit of a conundrum, that's for sure. Talking about our cast, and I think we had a really good cast here, which always helps. Really interesting, though, like in some of the kind of hardcore Survivor Facebook groups that I'm involved in, is that they talked about this being a really terrible cast, which I thought, if anything, if you're going to lob insults at New Zealand Survivor, that the cast is not the place to start. I think, generally speaking, there's some really, really interesting people on this show. You know, I think there's probably, you know, if you live in this crazy world where there's an international version of Survivor where they bring players from all over the world who have played before, you know, I could definitely see two or three of these players being in consideration for an international version. So I would argue
those people are idiots. Can I just point that out? Because I would argue this cast, as an overall cast, trumps maybe the last, like, three or four US original seasons. Like, I mean, I can remember the majority of this cast. And there is definite stands out. I mean, even in lumping Tom and Mike together, still you remember them. I mean, God, I was just at the US finale, and, you know, there were so many contestants converging on this hotel. There were, like, at least five or six people who were from, like, Millennials versus Gen X or Ko Rong. I knew they were on Survivor, but I couldn't remember who they were or what season they were on. And I'm like, you were on that season, but what was your name? I'm just going to get a photo with you anyway, because I know you're on the show, and I'll Google you later. Whereas, like, you know, here on this, like, fuck it. I am going to call you idiots, whoever you are in those groups. Because, seriously, this cast was amazing.
I thought the cast overall was like, full of interesting characters, like how you do, Ben. But I think I can sort of see the frustration maybe might be because none of them were, like, particularly, like, obviously, you know, like, good looking. That could have been a little bit.
I think it also comes down to maybe people are kind of what I was saying more about. You can maybe say the strategic version of it. Maybe they consider what it's boring because they're not going out and making moves and things like that. I think from an entertainment and an overall perspective of a cast together, I think that this is a great cast. Like, the season in general, if you're looking at it that way from strategic, yeah, I can see where it's lacking. But, I mean, you think about classic Survivor, if you compare the older seasons versus the newer seasons, the strategic elements to it just are not comparable. But you remember the people from the earlier seasons as opposed to, you know, people from Millennials and Ko Rong. And that's nothing against those seasons, that, because it's a different time. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know, like, you look at any cast, and this is kind of what I was saying before about, like, the new Australian one, like, we always initially look at a cast release and you straight away generally have a general opinion of it over that overall cast shot. And it's generally, oh, they're just young, pretty people. And my thing, maybe this is just from a perspective because I'm not young and pretty anymore, but, like, I like looking at a cast and thinking they're a diverse cast, and whether that be based on race, gender, age, whatever it is, like, I want it to be a unique cast, not just 80% 20-something white, skinny, attractive people. You know, I want there to be your olders, your youngers, your middles, your fats, your skinnies, your blacks, your whites. Like, I want it to be all diverse, not just a token percentage to fill up some diverse criteria. So I don't see how this cast can be considered crap at all. I definitely think from an overall scheme of things, this is, it was a great cast. Maybe gameplay and season-wise, not the best. But cast-wise, this trumps a lot of the most recent US seasons by far.
That was a really good speech, Ben.
Thank you. Thank you. Vote for me at the end, everybody.
Final tribal council speech. But I think probably one of the things, too, is that remember is that this is the first New Zealand season. Like, if this had been a cast of, you know, in a hypothetical where we get to 10 or 15 New Zealand seasons and you get this cast, they're going to play really differently. But they're still going to be the same, you know, entertaining group. And I think that that needs to be remembered, you know, is that I think regardless of the gameplay, this group of people are interesting. And, you know, like, even if they're not going out and trying to backstab each other every week, they are still, you know, for the most part, were quite interesting to watch. Yeah. And, you know, so I definitely think that that is an unwarranted criticism. I think they picked a really good group of people, and they were a diverse group of people. And, Perez, just to make one comment about what you were saying about not good looking, I will say that, you know, when all these girls were lined up at the finale, you know, that entire group of females were looking incredible, and, you know, all their gears dressed up on the stage, except for Dee, who wasn't there, of course.
What was with her? She really is completely done, isn't she? Like, wow, I noticed that.
Yeah. I mean, she's really a little bit butthurt about the whole thing, which is a shame. But I guess that's what happens. But, you know, they all looked incredible, you know, and, yeah, I mean, Perez and I have obviously got different tastes because I thought this was a pretty good-looking group of women. I guess the blokes are pretty good-looking too. So, yeah, I guess it's just what floats your boat.
I agree, and I would let a plenty of this cast float mine.
Yeah, but usually if you, like, look at an American cast or even looking at the Australian cast, you could pick out, like, at least five obviously hot people. With this one, there was, like, Izzy.
Barb.
And that might be it. No, Barb looked like a hag. She looked good at the reunion, but when she was on Survivor, Monica.
There's
Cole,
the problem. There it is. Barb's right.
Beautiful.
Sexist, ageist, right there.
Well, look at, like, Monica Culpepper, who is like, boxing around the Philippines looking like a fucking model with her perfect skin.
Because Monica Culpepper is perfect and a model, and I can say that because I can officially say she kissed me on the cheek. So, you're welcome, world. I just need to share that every moment I get a chance to because, yes, that made my life. So, watch the video now available on the Oz Network's Facebook page.
I think probably the big difference is that Perez and I have very different perspectives on whether or not Shannon is attractive. I think she's very attractive. Perez is not as big of a fan.
Really?
I thought she had a very lovely figure. I thought she was wonderfully slim and good-looking physically.
When was the last time you went to an optometrist, Perez? When was the last time you got your eyes checked?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Are you her face? Come on now. Come on.
What's wrong with the face?
We're gonna just slide right on past this.
Let's just keep on moving.
Okay. You become a really good host and stuff, by the way, Nick. Good job.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing that means we don't get interviews with people, so I think we might just keep on moving. But one of the things I will say is if you want to look up Jack on Instagram, he's since he was on the show, he's lost 37 kilos. And I did think when I saw him at the reunion, I thought, man, he's looking really slim. And there's like a before and after shot of him at the moment up on Instagram that I saw the other day. And man, he just looks like a different person. It's incredible. So, you know, good on you, Jack. Definitely, you know, you're one of the hot people now for sure.
His face, he looks just like my little brother. It's weird. He's not good looking.
Aw, poor Jack.
But it's about the personality with Jack. He's got a winning personality.
That's what I've always got going for me, too. It's my personality, all right? So, you know, I'm not pretty to look at.
And can we just point out right here that the views and opinions expressed by Perez Mackay do not reflect the views of the management. So, you know, we definitely want to have interviews with him. So, he's a minority view in this podcast.
Can I just point out Lou looked good at the reunion. I definitely, you know, not that she didn't on the show as well, but, you know, yep.
She looks Amish or Brethren.
So what's wrong with that? Well, Amish people can't be attractive? Seriously, Nick, move on. Like,
I think we need to move on from who wore it best, and let's maybe just talk about our top moments, so our top six moments of the season.
How many?
So we might shut up, Ben. And I think we might just go around the room, and just for that, Ben, I'm going to start just to annoy you. I think I'm going to start, and I'm probably going to go with the obvious big moment of the season, which was the Salah blindside. So that was probably, in terms of strategy, that was the big moment of the season. Everything kind of hung off that moment, and it was a good move by Barb. There's no doubt about that. I think we talked a little bit about it being possibly too early, and as that kind of panned out, we were probably right. But it was a big move, and it was one of the better episodes of the show as well. So I'd definitely be putting the Salah blindside here in our top six. So Perez, what's your what would be number two for you?
I would say, even though I don't feel like it got a very fluid storytelling essence in its like entirety, but I would have to say, and even though I totally didn't like it from like a Survivor game fan, I would have to say the demise of the Young People's Alliance. I thought that was cool. I liked them, and I wanted them to go all the way to the end, like, you know, Mad Queen Cersei styles, but watching them all get voted out and old Barb and Nate, you know, sidle their way into the game, that would be my like top thing from the season.
Yeah, and I think it was, as we kind of talked about before, is, you know, each of these storylines got told really well, and I really like the kind of double, you know, the 1-2 hit of Lee and Mike going, because I think kind of what when you see Mike kind of go off to Redemption Island, you know, he looks absolutely distraught, like he just doesn't believe that this could have happened. And I think kind of doing those two votes really quickly kind of just really sunk in just what a big deal that was. So, yeah, I mean, totally, that was a cool bit of storytelling for me too. So, Ben, what would be number three if you're picking?
Are we going to put these in an order just for an editor's point of view, and if I make a video of these moments, or are we going to decide that at the end?
Let's get our six out there, and then we can rank them.
Okay, I just wanted to, you know, be anal with that. Can I put the moment that I already mentioned about the challenge with the tight ass and Matt's facial reaction? I just love, I mean, maybe the overall scheme of where they're trying to throw the challenge, but just from a memorable point of this season, I mean, that was just unique. You're never going to see that in the US version, because they wouldn't allow the word ass, and Jeff Probst isn't going to have that like dumbfounded look on his face. You know, he's probably going to be, you know, cut, no, do that scene again and yell at them. But I just think that was just so hilarious. I don't think I've laughed so hard at a moment in Survivor. I had like literally rewound that scene so many times just because they were just being so funny. And just Matt's face, just I don't know if they like that was literally his face at that moment, or they just did some great editing to cut to his face. But I just want to throw that out there just from a memorable point. I just love that moment so much. I tweeted it out, and Matt liked my tweet. So even Matt liked that moment. I just want to point that out there too.
Yeah, well, Matt's reaction face is legendary. I think there's so many times on the season that, you know, I really enjoyed it. And, I think you kind of need those comedy moments as well. I think if there's too much of the kind of serious stuff, you know, and I think probably that's a little bit where American Survivor is getting a bit tricky, because it's so serious now, you know, and everyone loves those kind of those funny moments as well. So, yeah, well, definitely we have to include a bit of comedy in this list as well, I think. If I'm going to include another one, I think it's going to be because I think it was a nice little completion of a storyline was really around that final immunity challenge, because it was a bit of a, we didn't see many kind of epic, you know, go for hours immunity challenges except for this one. So I think it was good in that regard. We saw Arvi get the win, which I think was really important for kind of closing off that little storyline. And then I think also, you know, the kind of dramatic, you know, Tom collapses and stuff like that, I think that was, it was just a really cool piece of TV. I think they did it really well. We also get Homeless Doctor turns up again, which is always he goes up. He doesn't care either. He's like the least caring doctor in the world. He's like, yeah, he'll be all right, just give him some water.
Dr. Ramona, like, hashtag bring back Dr. Ramona.
Yeah, he's
Can you imagine if you're like a doctor and you're like getting paid to be on Survivor and you're telling all your friends, I'm being flown to South America and I'm going to be on a TV show being the TV doctor. And then you turn up and you have to get around in a fucking Toyota Hilux. How embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct. So anyway, yeah, Central America, by the way, not South America. Just be a geography Nazi on you.
But anyway,
okay.
Sorry.
Well, we could almost include as a moment the opening words of this whole season. This is Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
Ooh, still great. Yeah. But anyway, that's my second one is that final Muni challenge. So Perez, back to you.
My other like highlight would definitely be Jack's jury speech. I liked it. It was read from San Juan Dos, so it was good.
I agree with that.
And it, like, summed up how I felt about Barb, pretty much.
I actually thought it was better than Reed's, because I think Reed's kind of just feels really vindictive. And, you know, I've got nothing against that. I'm totally cool with if people want to do that. But I also think Jack's kind of had, like, a bigger point that, you know, he also was really complimentary of the other people and why he felt the way he did. Like, he didn't want to just have a go at Barb. He wanted Barb to understand why he felt that way. So, yeah. You know, for he was like 22 or whatever, it kind of showed a hell of a lot more maturity than we'd probably seen from Jack over the whole season. So, yeah, no, I would definitely go along with that one as well. So, Ben, you've got the final say here.
I just want to say I agree. I think that was definitely the rats versus snakes speech of the first season for Jack, definitely. I'm probably just going to go with the one I already mentioned already, and this is not just because of Matt's orgasm at the Barb winning. I think Barb winning immunity was a pretty big deal because, I mean, how many had Tom won at that point? He'd won, what, 4 or 5 in a row? So I think kind of just it came out of the blue. And, you know, it was good. And, like, this, I think, firmed what Barb could have been as a player had she just stuck to a certain way of things. So I think her winning that was good on many levels. And, of course, yeah, I've got to add Matt's orgasm reaction at the end of it. But, yeah, Barb winning immunity for me.
Cool. Okay, no, I think that's it's a good little list. So do we want to rank him? Does anybody want to fight for theirs to be number one?
I think my first one needs to be number 6. The tight ass Matt's face. I think that's the lowest out of all those moments. That would be my argument. Make mine last.
That was okay. Funny, though. That was funny. What was my first one? I'm sorry, I've completely gone.
The demise of the Young Person's Alliance.
Oh, no, that can't be.
I think Sala's Blindside's number one. That's just how I'm going to put that out there. That set
I think it's probably the defining. It's probably the defining moment of the season. So, yeah, I'd probably agree with that. Yeah, that it probably needs to be up there at number one. But I'd be quite happy for that. Because I think the second part of that is that also, you know, the defining moment that kind of gets us to that point is probably the whole, you know, the Young People's Alliance kind of crumbling. So I'm quite happy with that as my number two as well, if other people are.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Maybe Jack's jury speech at number 3.
Yep, I'd agree with that too. And then probably I would say, so that leaves us with the final immunity challenge. And Barb's immunity, so it just depends.
Barb's number 5, final immunity number 4.
Yep, I'd agree with that. So that's our list. So number 1 is Sala's Blindside. Number 2 is the fall of the Younger Person's Alliance. Number 3 was...
Jack's jury speech.
Jack's jury speech, thanks, I hadn't forgotten. Number 4 is the final immunity challenge. Number 5 is Barb winning immunity. And then number 6 is the tight ass challenge.
Yep. The tight ass challenge. It's my favorite.
Yeah. And just one thing while we're kind of talking about moments is that this was a bit of a crazy season in that, like, we had one medical evacuation, two people have a collapse at a challenge. And then we also had somebody try and quit 3 times. It was a bit of a weird, like, a bit of everything without it really kind of impacting on the season all that much.
Yeah. It's strange. And it's kind of like, I mean, on the Australian version, like the one from last year, I mean, we had a quitter on that. But I mean, it's interesting, like of a show, you know, it was we'd on that had been so long since we'd had a version to have somebody quit, like after that amount of time, that hard to get on it. And then this time around, you have somebody nearly quit so many times and then just be so frustrating with it. It's definitely, I mean, you would never have that on Borneo going back to comparing this to like the first US version.
Yeah. So totally. So I think we're probably kind of starting to draw to the ink here. But I think probably do just need to, we've talked about him throughout the whole thing. We probably just need to stop down and talk a little bit about Matt. Yeah, I mean, we probably just need to get some parting thoughts on him as a host of the show. So I think I'll probably start by saying that I'd agree with what we've already said. I think he's a really good host. He's definitely got the kind of green shoots of being a great host if this thing does continue. I think he gets along with the players really well, maybe a little bit too well, which kind of makes it hard for him to ask those probing questions at Tribal Council. But, you know, no, he is really good. I think he has some, you know, phenomenal reaction faces. if I was going to sit, and I guess probably the other really big thing I like about Matt is that he does kind of interact with you on Twitter, which is really cool. You know, it's not something that Jeff does. I don't know if Jonathan is somebody that gets on Twitter or not, but Matt definitely does get on there and has a bit of a banter with you. So that's really fun. You know, it's nice to have the host of Survivor jumps on and likes your tweets and responds to them and all that kind of stuff. And so he's been a big, you know, big advocate of the season the whole way through, as you would expect. But, you know, he's been fun to interact with, which has been really cool. On the downside, I'd say probably the one thing is that if they do this again, I would probably be finding somebody else to host that reunion. I think, you know, Matt, he even said it to us when we were in the audience that he's not great at this kind of live two camera stuff, and he did rely on his notes really, really heavily. And, you know, I think if we were to do this again, it might really benefit from having a kind of New Zealand's answer to Bryant Gumbel kind of come and do this, you know, just somebody who's really good. Because I think, you know, to me, I think there are lots of questions that you need to ask. And, you know, like, I don't think he really needed those notes. Like, I think you and the three of us could sit here and come up with the, you know, the 15 questions that he's going to ask to all the cast before we even get there. You know, they are pretty obvious questions, really. And, you know, I don't think he needed those notes. And if he had missed one of those questions, nobody would have noticed. You know, nobody would have cared. You know, I think that he probably just could have been a bit more natural without having to rely on those notes as much as he did. So that's probably my kind of long-winded response. I might just pass over to Prez, because I think we've kind of, like, we'll definitely come to you, Ben, but I think we probably haven't heard a whole lot
from Prez. You're just racist against the Aussie. I see what it is.
Well,
Can you blame him?
Yeah, I'm making a speech for that.
You'll get your own back. Trust me, when I get started on this Australian version soon, it's all revenge against you New Zealanders.
I really liked Matt's enthusiasm, and I really liked how he, like, seemed so excited to be out there and amongst it all. I really like that. And if he stays on and we see more Survivor, I would hope that isn't something that he loses. Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything that you said, Nick. Yeah, I would, if I was going to have somebody host the live finale, it would definitely be Paul Henry, but I doubt
that would be hilarious.
Yeah, I think he just needs to work on his tribal council questioning and sort of have more of a solid understanding for himself what or how he's going to steer it and what he's trying to get out of each tribal council. That's all. And I don't think that's like a big ask for the host of Survivor, and I think he could do it. So I liked him. I'd give him like a 7 out of 10. Overall,
would you buy him, rent him, or bin him?
I would rent him.
And never watch him.
you'd download an illegal version of him.
Yeah. I would download an illegal version of him. I'd probably download 2 and just.
I'd Netflix and chill. Sorry, I'd not Flux and chill.
Yeah, overall, I liked him overall. Yes. Yes for Matt.
Is it three yeses for Matt? We're turning to X Factor here, but is it three yeses for Matt?
Yes.
My biggest question still is who is New Zealand's answer to Bryant Gumbel? Is it Paul Henry? What? I don't think it is. Paul Henry's a bit more out there than Bryant Gumbel, isn't he?
Well, I don't think he could offend too many Survivor fans. I think, you know, it's not like early morning TV, you know, guests coming on that have got a moustache on a lady and things like that. I think he would probably be, you know, he wouldn't be able to offend anybody with a Survivor finale, but I could be wrong. But
I think just get Paul Henry. Gumbel.
Can you imagine Paul Henry at the Survivor finale? He'd be like, oh, well, if it was so hard, Barb, why'd you bloody go out and in, you stupid woman? That would be so
I know, like, only a little about Paul Henry, but that was, like, a brilliant impersonation of him.
He would, though. It wouldn't surprise me. He would be, like, entertainment gold, having him host a Survivor reunion show. That would be brilliant.
Get Bryant Gumbel. He's not doing much, is he? So.
No, exactly. But Ben, come on, let's give us your final thoughts on Matt.
Oh, look, Nick, you and I do a bit of a segment each week on one of our other podcasts, The Brink. Download now via iTunes. We talk about New Zealand, and you've been telling me how boring your election is at the moment in New Zealand, so I think Matt should run for Prime Minister. I mean, he's just so enthusiastic and excited, and, like, this is what I really liked about him, is that just he just looked like he was having fun. And, I mean, again, having said that, I've just started, you know, going over the Australian one again. I mean, in that very first episode with Jonathan LaPaglia, he's literally standing on the beach when the tribes are coming in. He's like, come on, everyone over here, hurry up. Whereas, like, Matt's like, come on, everyone, let's get started. And he's just like, you know, he's like, he's about to blow up. He's that excited to be there. So, I mean, I just think that enthusiasm is so good to see from him. He looks like Propes. He just, like, oh, he's great. And all the shortcomings that he has, as I said before, he will improve on that. And, like, he definitely did look like he struggled in that reunion. And, I mean, like, at the US version, when I was in the audience, one of the things that I like to keep an eye on is, like, I love watching behind the scenes things. So I watched a lot of Propes, what he would do in between, like, the ads, and, like, kind of every time there was an ad, he'd kind of duck off into this little hut, and then he'd come back out. And he had cue cards, as you obviously see, he has the cue cards when you're watching the reunion, but he barely will look at them. He kind of goes over them in the commercial breaks, and then he never looks at them barely when he's actually on. Whereas, obviously, Matt, like, he was reading off them word for word. So, I mean, that's, again, improvement. I think the funniest moment I noticed in that reunion with him was, I think, when he went into the audience with Arvy, and he meets Arvy's mum. It's like, oh, so you're the mum, are you? Like, it's like he just, it's like he had no idea what was happening. And then I think even the camera went in to, like, zoom in on Arvy hugging his mum, and then Matt kind of, like, awkwardly looked at the camera and quickly had to back out of the camera shot. Which I was just like, I thought that was funny. And one thing I noticed too, just quickly, this isn't nitpick, Matt, I wanted to bring this up, was there was the Redemption Island one, I think, just after Mike had been voted out and was there with Lee, and they were expecting Shannon to show up, but she didn't. So they were like, they said a few things. And then as they left Redemption Island, Matt's like, oh, it's up to you to say, you know, to tell your tribe what happened here or what didn't. And then, like, at the next challenge, Matt's like, oh, so Lee and Mike were vocal against you, Shannon. How do you feel about that? And it's like, you just said, it's up to you to tell what happened, and you just gave it away. So I just thought that was kind of like a little thing that maybe he didn't mean to do. But, he's great. He's got so much potential to really develop in, and he's just a guy I want to hang out with. Like, he's just seems like such a nice guy. So, yeah, I would definitely buy Matt. And put him up on the shelf. Nice and proud. I wouldn't take him out of the box. He's a collector's item.
Yeah, I think you might have hit on something there. Let's get a campaign going to get Matt for Prime Minister. I think that could be a lot of fun.
Welcome to New Zealand!
Yeah. But one of the things that we did talk about last time, just as we're talking about him going and talking to Arvy's mum in the crowd, is we did talk a little bit last week about Arvy's parents, well, Arvy's dad, more to the point, who is Lloyd Jones, who's actually a novelist who wrote a book that became a movie called Mr. Pip, if you look that up. Arvy, Mr. Pip, P-I-P, don't even start with the accent. Don't even start with that
P-U-P?
You're outnumbered. Just don't forget you're outnumbered here. You sometimes forget. But that was really interesting because I didn't even know that. And so obviously Arvy's uncle is Bob Jones, who's an ex-politician in New Zealand as well. So he's got a little bit of fame. So it's just really interesting that I had never connected that. I didn't know that until after the season. So that's just a little aside. But
was his mum American?
I think so, yeah.
She sounded very American.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought I heard like an American accent, and then that sort of made a little bit of sense with some of the way Arvy would behave when we'd see him at camp, and the way he'd be talking to other people. It sort of was like, oh, yeah, American, I can see that.
So, yeah,
alone.
I think in terms of Barb, we're definitely Matt. We're definitely kind of buying Matt. He's I don't want Barb to be the host of the show. I think overall we're definitely gonna buy on Matt. But I think we've probably kind of covered everything that we needed to cover. Definitely some good parts of this show. I think overall, I would say that it's surpassed what my expectations were. And I don't know if that's because the show was particularly good or if my expectations were just particularly low, or probably a combination of the two. But it's done a damn good job. It's been a fun ride for me in terms of starting all the way back, going up to the premiere party, which was a couple of days before it was shown here, all the way through to going up to the finale and then talking with you guys about it. So it's been a fun little journey for me. Really, really enjoyed it. And I really hope we are back at some point talking more about New Zealand Survivor. And one thing before I pass over to you guys for your final thoughts is I've just got the final episode playing over in the background at the moment, and I'm just looking up that this homeless doctor, because I'm really interested. So his name is Robert Gibbo Gibson.
Gibbo!
I'm really intrigued as to where they found this guy from. So I might have to just kind of look that up while you guys are talking and see if I find anything else about that. But just above him is they're talking about the camera assistants for the show, and one of them must be related to sticking chicken Steve Morris, because her name is Stephanie Dam.
Damn.
So there you go.
I get it.
But anyway. Yeah. So let's pass over to Ben for your final thoughts on this whole thing.
One thing I'll say is when I was watching each of the episodes, I still actually did rent, buy it, or bin the episodes, kind of just, you know, to keep the consistency going on here. And I did actually buy two episodes. I rented the majority of them. I binned a few. But I did buy episode 13, whatever you bought that to, Nick. I can't remember what happened in that one. But I actually bought the finale. You two rented it, I see. But I enjoyed the finale. You know, I think it was good. So I just wanted to add that in there. It's interesting to think, like, what I thought about this going into it and what I thought it would be. There were many parts of this that I guess exceeded expectations. There were definitely parts of this that were below my expectations. And I mean, like, I've never been a person who's gone out of my way to watch international versions of Survivor. I know there are definitely Survivor fans out there who have seen all the versions, you know, like, you know, the English version, the Israeli version, the Azerbaijan version, you know, the Croatian, but like, they just watch it religiously. And I've heard varying reports that some are really good and some are terrible. And my only ever experiences with watching a Survivor series outside of the US has obviously been the Australian versions, which have been 50-50. So I was always kind of interested to see how this is. And yeah, okay, I know a lot of people would just say, well, New Zealand's just Australia Junior. But I mean, I think from at the end of the day, it's not. I think it's interesting to see New Zealanders play a game like Survivor and to get that viewpoint from you guys going into this about how New Zealanders might struggle with a show like this because this is not what New Zealanders are. And I think that's maybe at the end of the day why this season turned out the way it is. And again, they emphasise that, as I said, in the finale, that, you know, New Zealanders would struggle with this strategic element. So I definitely had very, you know, some good bits, bad bits, you know, in the middle bits. And I hope it comes back again. I hope it can continue to develop. And I'd really like to see, you know, this game keep going on and seeing how New Zealand develops this show. Also, because I want to see more of Matt. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I can now say I've actually watched this whole season, and I still haven't watched the entire season of the Australian one last year. So New Zealand won that battle, apparently. But from the, four episodes I've done with this with you guys, I've enjoyed it. And, I can't wait to going back to hearing the word six pronounced correctly now.
Can I ask you, Ben, as a non-American and non-New Zealander, how do you think we culturally came across on Survivor compared to the American version?
I think, from my experiences in general with New Zealanders, like, I mean, I might take the piss out of you guys a lot, but I mean, I've always had very pleasant interactions with New Zealanders. I obviously was in New Zealand for like 8 days, and I think New Zealanders, to me, as a culture and as a people, you guys are very similar to Australians in that you're very laid back and relaxed people, but I would argue that you guys are maybe politer than Australians, and you have your shit together more than Australians on many aspects. And I think that really did come across on this version. I think the cast, as much as I love this cast, it's so great, and just even the people that you might not necessarily think are the best, you still can see positive qualities in them, and you remember them. You know, comparing that to the Australian cast from last year, in rewatching it this week, there are people I couldn't even remember were on the show. And I just think that is a good thing for New Zealand. I think New Zealand, when you know New Zealanders and you know a bit about your country, it's a great country. You guys are a small country with a small population, but it works in your favor because you guys just, as a group of people, are fantastic in my eyes. So I think my long-winded answer is that you guys came across as great people, fun-loving people. You've got a great, witty sense of humor. And it's sort of you know how to do a big thing on a small scale, but make it feel like a big thing. And I think that's generally what New Zealand is like. So I think you guys came across very positively.
Wasn't that nice?
Yeah, see, it's not all sheep jokes and socks jokes, all right? Like, you know.
Yeah, you kept it out for a good 60 seconds there. That was quite impressive.
How many seconds,
really.
Nick?
59. Yeah.
I hear that's a New Zealand sex position. You just can't count properly.
Yeah, yeah. If we get we stop at 68.
Yeah. I'm not getting into that position. Let's just go to the 68.
Right, let's go to a normal person who doesn't give me a hard time about my accent. He's got the same one. So Perez, you get the last word on this, I think.
Well, what am I saying?
I think it's just your final take on I'm glad to hear that you're listening to what we're talking about.
So sums up the listeners at this point of the episode. Oh, what? They're still going.
if even the people who are talking can't be bothered following the conversation, I'm not sure anybody listening is going to be able to. So,
I was caught up in the praise of our country by the Australian. Sorry, but sure. I know where I'm at. I thought it exceeded my expectations. I thought we were going to have Survivor Australia the first season, and that was what I was prepared for. I was sort of like, you know, hopeful that it would be better, but was expecting shit. But I think if I was going to compare it to another Survivor season, I would compare it to the most recent Australian Survivor season I think the Australian, latest Australian version obviously had a bigger budget, but I still think we matched up to it, even though we didn't have the same budget.
I'd agree
so
with that.
I was pleased, and I would hope that we get another season and that I'm on it. So then you two could talk about me.
How meta.
Yeah. Or if I'm not on it, I hope Nick is on it so that me and Ben can talk about you, Nick.
I hope you're on it, and then you get voted off first and you're like D and you refuse to talk about it.
And then we can call you a bitch and a sore loser. Like,
I would be so embarrassed. I would act as if I had never heard of Survivor ever before.
I would soak it up. I would milk the shit out of that. I would just be like, yeah, I've talked about this show for how many years and I can't even play it. I suck. All right?
You'd be the new Billy Garcia, right?
Oh, like, fuck yeah. I'd be, you know, better than Billy. Not that that's possible. Hashtag bring Billy back. But I would milk the crap out of that.
Yeah,
I couldn't. Well, my family would ridicule me more than like the public would if I was the first person voted up.
I will ridicule you. Don't worry. We'll make up for that too. We'll become your family.
Okay, wonderful.
I think we can probably wrap it up there and finish with milking. It's always a good place to finish, especially if you're a Kiwi.
Hey, it's a Purple Kelly quote. You get to milk your own milk or something like that. Yay!
finish at the milking shed. But no, it's been a fun ride, guys. Really, really enjoyed it. And I hope this isn't the last we're talking about New Zealand Survivor. So let's stay tuned and hope it's not too long before we're back having another talk about all this kind of stuff. But in the meantime, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you, Perez.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, haters.
It's not an Oscar award speech. But anyway, thanks, Ben.
No, thank you, Nick. Thank you very much for stepping in and covering this while I was away. I really appreciate that. And obviously, Perez, it's been a lot of fun having you here on the show. We literally put out like the feelers, didn't we? I think the week beforehand, going, shit, do we have New Zealand listeners when we had Survivor Oz? And we found you. So you've done very, very well. And I just want to thank, too, the listeners, because we got some great download numbers across the coming weeks. And you two really did hold it very well. You don't even need me. Not that anyone does, because, again, nobody likes me. So that's fine. you guys did awesome. And it's been a lot of fun, the few moments that I was involved in this show.
All right. Well, until next time, thank you very much for listening. This has been the Oz Network, and we'll see you next time. There's some New Zealand Survivor to talk about.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Oz Network. Don't forget to subscribe to get new episodes delivered to your speakers every week. For more information, hit us up at theoznetwork.net.